Well, blessings to you. It is a blessing, a great privilege for me to be here. Like the brother said, the pilgrimage, it's a highlight and for me to come to these meetings and to listen to them. Like I shared with the brother, you know, if it's somebody that I know personally, it's nice to hear that, but also just to hear a Christian share his pilgrimage. It's a joy for me to do that, for me to hear that. And so when they called me and asked me to share mine, I said, well, why me? There's so many others that could do it. They probably could do it so much better, so much more interesting. And but to where God told me, hey, you have a pilgrimage that I want you to share. And I couldn't say no. And so I want to share it for God's honor and glory, what God has done in my life. And we all think we are special. I think that way. I am special in God's eyes. I am different than most of you here. My mom was born in Canada. My dad was born in Old Mexico. And so I was born in Old Mexico. My wife, Leanna, she was born in Oklahoma. And so I'm a Russian Mennonite. I'm not a Swiss Mennonite. I have a different background than what most of you guys have. But does it make any difference in God's eyes? No, it doesn't. But to me, it feels like I'm a little different than you. So forgive me for that, because in God's eyes, we're the same. And so I grew up in Mexico. That was my home country. My parents, they still speak the German. If we go there, we will speak German. My schooling was mainly German. Later years, I had some English. So there as well, forgive my English, it's not perfect. But it's just interesting how God has led me to be here today. If I look back, and I'm going to share quite a bit of history going back to my grandpa, I see that's where it comes from, to where I can be here today. My grandparents, they were in Mexico, my dad's parents, they lived in a community of a lot of old colony people. That's what they were, old colonists. My grandpa, he got saved when he was 50. My dad, he has had a real rough time. His older brother, it was quite a bit worse for him yet. My grandpa was not a Christian, but he wanted his boys, he was very strict with them. You do this, and you don't do this. And so it was real, real tough for them in their growing up years. And so if I look back at my dad now, there's so many things I wish he had done different with me. But how could he? His dad didn't teach him. Yeah, God could have worked differently in his heart yet. But what really stands out to me is, if you as a dad don't teach your children the Word of God, the discipline of the Word of God, where will they get it? They probably will pick it up somewhere. But we as dads, we need to do that. My grandparents, they had a huge family. They had 14 children. They had 5 boys and 9 girls. My dad, he was the second oldest boy, and I'm not quite sure as far as with the girl how it was. When my grandpa saw that it's going downhill with my family, he said, I need to do something else for them. And he had heard about the Kleine Gemeinde group that was a little further north of them. This is in the state of Chihuahua, if anybody is familiar with that. So he got in contact with them, but at that time, the Kleine Gemeinde, they didn't accept any outsiders in their colony. They didn't want anybody to come in there, which it has changed. Thank the Lord for that. But my grandpa, he bought a land a property a little ways off from them to where they could at least go to their church and send the children to their schools. So my dad, he can tell me stories how they hitchhike to school every morning. Several miles how they had to travel to get to the school. So that's where he got some good influence at. And I don't know the years, but the time came to where they were allowed to buy a farm on the colony there. And I don't have the details when the 58, when it was when my grandpa got saved, if it was before they moved there or when they were there. But he was 50 when he got saved, and they moved to this Kleine Gemeinde group there. So I see that as a point of turnaround for my family, for my forefathers. And there's all of the children of my uncles and aunts that moved from the old colonists except one. But later on there was an outreach church from the Kleine Gemeinde that came over there and they joined that church, but hardly any of their children did. There's several of those children that I can say they're going straight to hell. I don't want to judge them, but by the word of God, I can say they're going straight to hell. Here, several years ago, there were a couple of my cousins. They got drunk. They went out on the road and got killed. There go I, if it wasn't for the grace of God. Yeah, I have to make my own choice. It's not my dad. It's not my grandpa. But I'm affected by their choices. And I'm so grateful for that turnaround that my grandpa made then. And it's not that the family is perfect now, but there's three of my uncles, they're preachers in the church now, they're leaders of the church. There's one of the sisters that went to live with the Lord. The rest of them are still all alive. I was here a couple of years ago, we went to a reunion. It was such a blessing to be there. To look back at what grandparents did and to what the family is doing today. I have three brothers and two sisters. They're very dear to me. They're all still there. I had a set of twins that were born after me yet, but they didn't make it. They only live a couple hours. So I have three brothers, two sisters. I'm the youngest one. I'm the spoiled one. And why I'm saying that is, looking back, and I see this too, as my dad didn't get better training at home. But so many times to where my dad had to take my brothers to the woodshed. And how many times did he take me to the woodshed as the spoiled youngest one? He should have done it more often. But still, I'm glad the teaching and the upbringing that my parents gave me. My mom, she has come many times to the bad side of mine, just to be there for me. I wasn't like a sick person, but I had a lot of problems with my stomach, so many nights to where I couldn't sleep, and she would be there for me. I can't thank her enough for that. My dad, he was there to teach me how to work. He was a man who got after it. He couldn't just sit down and do nothing. He wasn't that type of man. And not just in his all daily life. He wanted to do what was right in God's kingdom as well. And I want you to understand me right. I don't want to blame my dad for what he did as far as the way his upbringing was and the way he did brought us boys up. But I just look back and see again and again that he wasn't taught better. He didn't know better from the experience that he had growing up. But he wasn't the spiritual leader that I would have liked him to be. Yes, he took the Word of God every morning and read the Word of God, which was very precious. Now looking back, I wish I had honored that more. But it wasn't like if we sat down and discussed it. He didn't teach it to me. He read it, and he left it at that. There again, what do I do for my children? Do I just take the Word of God and throw it in front of them? Here you go. Put this into action. Or do I teach them? Do I discuss it with them? I love my dad. He has helped me in many ways. He has kept me from many sins. But I wish he had used this more as his backup. There were things that I can see now that he did for the best of me. And back then I thought he was just so good to me. But he wanted to help me in my spiritual life. He wanted to show me what's going on in the world. And that was, he took me with to one of his sisters that lived about 8 hours from where we lived. There was an outreach church there. And me and my sister, my parents, and a minister couple went over there. And that was a big trip. We didn't have the money. We were a poor family. So we didn't have the money to just go out and see the world. So it was very special for me to make this 8-hour trip. That was when I was probably about 7 years old. But what stuck to me at that time was this minister, he had the message there on Sunday morning. But I guess he had asked my dad to have the opening. I had never before heard him speak to a congregation over the pulpit. And it just stuck to me. He was speaking of the 99 sheep and the one lost one. It was just here a couple years ago. I asked him, "Do you still remember that?" And he said, No, I don't know what you're talking about." But somehow, me as a young boy, I remember how he laid that out. That was my dad. That was my dad who didn't do it at home. And I see that so much in me today. I can speak so freely to you, but sometimes it's so hard to teach the children to go into details of the Word of God to your children. I see I have that same problem, and I wish that you would pray for me, that I could teach them what the Word of God teaches us and what He wants us as fathers to do. Later on, about 10 years later, when I was about 17, he let me and my sister go again with my uncle and aunt to a place that was about 15 hours away. And there again, I thought, well, Dad, he's just nice. He wants to give me some time off. And that probably was, but also he wanted me to show what it is to go to a new community, to an outreach church. We went over there. At that time, I was a member of the church already. And I remember after the communion, one of my friends there, he said, "What a blessing to partake in this communion." And I wasn't sure about that. And I should back up a little bit. When I was 15. I can say a date and a time when I got saved. I just know that the Spirit was working on me. I was open up for youth to come to for instruction class. And I said, no, I don't want to go. My friends, they came and said, hey, you want to come with us? Let's go to instruction class. And I said, no, not this year. But then the next year, I felt the urge. I need to go. I couldn't say that, yes, I accepted Jesus in my heart. But I wanted to do what was right. The evening of the instruction class, first evening, I told my dad. We're out in the dairy barn. And I told him, is it all right if I go in already? I need to get ready to go to instruction class. And he asked me, why do you want to go there? He just wanted to strike a conversation. And I broke into tears and I said, I want to do what is right. I want to have a better life. I want to serve the Lord. I know I haven't been where I should be. So where I could bring it out to my dad that I want to accept Jesus in my heart. And he honored that. He let me go. And I feel like from that point on, I've been growing. I can't say that this is when I did it, and from this moment on, that's when I accepted Jesus. For me, it was kind of gradual going into it. And then after that, it was where I could ride with my uncle and aunt to Tamaulipas, which is about 15 hours, and where I had the experience to see how a group of young believers, how they couldn't express their joy, their appreciation enough for the group from where I grew up to where they came over there and helped them from out of the miry clay where they were in. I'm not sure if that was an old colony. I think it was more the Sommerfelder. I don't know if you're familiar with them. But it was an experience that I look back now was a very good experience for me to go out and see what it does to a group like that if a group of Christians comes in there and helps them. At age 18, I had a very hard struggle. There was a cousin of mine. He had fallen into sin. He was a little younger than me, and he had messed with a girl, and his parents, they didn't know what to do with him. So they came to my dad and asked him, is it all right if our son stays with you for a couple months? And my dad said, it's all right, let him come. That was very hard for me to accept that. I was still struggling. Why does my dad take that boy in? Why can't he spend more time with me instead of taking him in as well yet? I had a very hard time to love this cousin of mine. To show him that I care about you. To show him that I want the best for you. I know that you are in a situation where you need to get out of. You need to get out of the area where you're in and just kind of let it heal up. I proclaimed to be a Christian, but it was a very, very hard struggle for me to just say, come on in, Arnold. Live with us. Come in and I'm going to give you everything I can. I couldn't do it. And to this day, I regret that I didn't do it. Although he turned out to be a Christian, a very, very faithful Christian. In my youth years, I've really enjoyed being with the youth. I had some very, very dear friends there. that I could share my struggles with. Because I couldn't go and share them with my dad. I didn't feel the openness there. But I could go and share everything, especially one of my friends. There's many, many evenings where we sat out in the dark and we shared our struggles, our concerns. There's many times where I told him where I failed again. Please pray for me. It was such an encouragement to have a friend like that. Later on, me and him were youth sponsors at the same time. It was such a blessing. I really enjoyed being with the youth. Now looking back, I can see how I enjoyed to take the Word of God and to bring it to the youth for openings, devotions, whatever. I had a joy in doing that. And why did I have that? Because, and you probably say this doesn't match with what you've been saying so far, but because I saw that in my dad. He loved to do that. He loved to share the Word of God with others. He's done that many times where he was in the committee of mission work, where he went out to the poor people, the poor Indians, and they would bring him blankets, they would bring him food, they would bring him different stuff, but not just that, they would bring him the gospel. My dad, he was just so much into it. And that's what helped me to see that it's a joy to do that. It's a joy to share the Word of God. It's a joy to share it with friends at the youth meetings. At age 21, I met my wife. My wonderful wife. She's been such an encouragement to me. There's so many times in my life where she has helped me to make wise decisions. I'm the type of person, I'm jumpy. I want to make a decision and just go for it. And she says, hold it. Let's think about it. And she probably would say, don't talk about that. But she has kept me from getting into something that I shouldn't. But then other times it's the opposite, to where I have to keep her. So it's not just a one-way street there. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be married. There's so many times where I say, I can see how a single person can be happy. I don't think that's the way God planned it. But then again, there's some of them, they just say, I don't want to be married. I feel like this is what God has for me, to be single. So I want to honor that. A year after I met her, we got married, and we've had a wonderful marriage. It's not just always up. We go upstream quite a bit. After a couple years of marriage, we weren't active in the church the way we should have been. We looked at the shortcomings of the church members, of the leadership. We looked at the others and didn't see the beam in our own eye. We criticized others about what was happening in the church, to where we came to the point where we said, if we just knew where else to go, we would go. We would leave this church. And that's when God started to work in me. I know this one evening, a friend of mine came over. And he was the same way. He wasn't satisfied the way the church was. He was always wanting something else, which he wasn't a member of our church. and to where we had our discussion about different things, to where I said how unhappy I was with the church. I didn't like this about it. I didn't like that. And of course, he liked to hear that. We were in a good discussion on it. But that evening, that's when God started to work in my life. And he said, Dennis, it is your fault. It isn't his fault. It isn't her fault. It's your fault. And I had to go back to that brother and say, I'm sorry. What I said the other night, it wasn't uplifting. It is my fault why I want to leave the church. It's not because of the rest of them. And to where I felt that got the joy and the peace to work in the church, to lift others up instead of to push them down. I feel like that's where God started to prepare me for the ministry. God had something in store for me to where others had to suffer because of that. And it was my benefit. The church had to suffer because I wasn't happy in the church. But that's how God could come to me and wake me up and tell me, Dennis, it's your fault. I want your attention. I want you to go and minister to that brother and to that sister. In March of 09, God, he called me into his ministry. I was ordained, and I felt the call from God. I want you to be in the ministry. And I felt so blessed by the church and my family, the way they supported that. I hear it too often to where the church or the family, somebody, they can't support if somebody gets into the ministry. But I felt it so much. Later on, there's been times where I didn't feel it as much. But I don't want that to get me down and think something is wrong. That's normal. But there's been so many joys, but also sorrows in the ministry of God. I've failed so many times, especially listening to the messages this weekend here. I feel like I've failed so many times to where I wasn't the pastor, to where I didn't pastor the youth, the loved ones that are there. They expect me to have something for them, to be there for them. I have failed in that. I need more wisdom in that. And I'm not here to preach this morning, but one thing I want to share with you. You as fathers, as grandparents, look at your children. Look at their future life. And do everything you can to teach them the Word of God. Don't let them down. Yeah, we as ministers, we sometimes get so busy. We have to take care of that brother, of that sister, this church situation and that church situation. I don't have time for the family. Take time for your family. It is very, very precious to my heart, to those that I can see that do that, to those that have a longing to do that. And I don't want to blame my parents, my dad. I love him dearly, but I wish he had done more of that for me. Thank you. May God bless you.